Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net.
Yes, we are getting quite close, ladies and gentlemen. Cryptotalk.fm, we are getting close to getting the hell out of here. I'm in the process of finalizing. I got the last bits, and if you're new, welcome. I'm giving an update for those that are not new. I got the last bits of paperwork signed for this home purchase, so that tells me it's done because that came from the bank. Gave the closing costs total. I figured I would be somewhere in the range of like 57 grand. It came in at like 49 grand. I'm like, because there was a tax credit. There was the earnest money deposit. There was other stuff that offset and dropped it. And so what that told me, I'm kind of pissed because what that told me is I could have gone probably about $100,000 higher on the house that I was seeking. I still got a good deal. I should have about 100 grand worth of equity from day one at this point because I hardballed it. I'm like, screw you, bro. This is what we're doing. And they took the offer because I was about to walk. I was serious. I'm like, I'm about to walk on this. But I could have gone higher, and then that would have allowed me to pick a different area. I don't regret the home I bought, but I'm going to have to put a lot of money into it. So the reason that I'm updating is because next week, Tuesday, I may be somewhat delayed in recording CryptoTalk.fm because I'm going to be at the closing table. It's scheduled for the morning, about an hour-ish, but then I need to go to the actual house. I'll take the keys, I'm told. I'll have the keys, I'll go to the house, check it out. I've got an electrician showing up. There's some basic things I need to get set up. I need to get a quote. And depending on how hard it is, I might just tell him to go and pull the trigger. Things like a breaker box, outlets. I'm decking this guy out. So, because I'm planning to be there for at least 2 years. And I know you're like, 2 years? You know, my plan is to have the damn thing paid off in 2 or 3 years. That's how much money I make. So if I can get it paid off, it becomes an asset, contributes to net worth. And this goes to my crypto updates for today. I actually invested in a project. It launched and I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, well, geez, that's a lot of money if this thing keeps going where it's going. I don't know that it'll keep going, but if it keeps going, it has an opportunity to get it. Like right now, it's valued at, I think it's like $25,000-$26,000 of just raw value on a $1,000 investment. So and it's still climbing. So if it keeps going, there's a potential it gets to like $100,000 for just $1,000. That's how much this thing is going nuts. I'm going to talk about it here in a second. But I could take that. I could literally take that, dump it straight to the home right there. That's half the remainder of the loan. And by the time this all fleshes out, because I think the way this sets up, it'll take like 20 weeks to get that much. I make every 2 weeks, you know, like $8,000. So, you know, doing the math, I'm like, if this all pans, I can have the damn thing paid off in 2 or 3 years. And then it becomes an asset. It contributes to net worth. I could then sell it to buy a house somewhere that I really want to live. That's kind of the tentative plan. Meanwhile, I'm looking for a second client and I am going to be fixing this place up a little bit just to make it more appealing and see if I can bump that appraised value up by 25 grand and get it over the threshold. So I've got a lot on deck. That's why I'm telling you about it, because Tuesday, the next week where we're supposed to schedule for recording CryptoTalk.fm, I may be delayed because I'm closing on the house. I also have to get the studio set up so that I can do this recording. This is a pain. My setup is a pain. I have a lot of the high-end hardware, so it's a headache to get the damn thing set up. I'm going to have more room, but it's just the logistics of getting everything situated. So I will do my best to stay on track. But if anybody that's listened for a while, you knew when I was driving up here, I was recording on anything I could. You know, I was recording on laptops and all sorts of crazy crap, and the audio quality was terrible. And I didn't want to do that to you guys again. You deserve better. Anyway, stuff's happening in cryptocurrency. Let's go ahead and dig right into it. And I'll give my update about this this potential windfall that's headed my way. Of Coindesk.com, we're going to save the best for last. Let's start with Bitcoin today. Why not? Let's zoom out to the month chart. Bitcoin pumped all the way up, got to the 70,000 mark, which is where we are right now, a low of 69,000, a high of just shy of 72 grand. Hovering at the 70,000 mark, this all happened in the span of like a day and a half. We got a significant run-up on the Bitcoin side, and then on the Ethereum side, which was really the bigger news. Ethereum, when I looked at the wallet, it claimed that there was a 30% climb in the price all within a span of a single day, and I confirmed this on Coindesk.com, where it had based at about 3,100, just shy of 3,100, skyrocketed to 3,800, which is where we are now. Over the past 24 hours, just a run of 3,600, high of 3,800, at the 3,800 mark, headed upward, strong upward trend. So part of this run was triggered by the potential that the Ethereum ETFs could pass. There was recent news and rumblings around the Ethereum ETF that caused, or at least contributed, to some of these inflows and positive movement. I do think that this is going to come crashing back down, or I should say, shouldn't say crash, I should say stabilize. I do think it'll stabilize and get to something a little bit more reasonable, because there's no way it's going to stay going up. People are going to be taking profits off this, especially if they were getting wrecked on the way and some of the liquidations that took place. So I do think it's going to go back down, in my opinion. It'll go back down and kind of level off, and then maybe go on another run. Again, keep in mind, we still have not hit the all-time high for Ethereum, so it's got room to grow. And I did say on a past episode, if Ethereum gave the right price target at the low, I would definitely buy into that bad boy. We got there. I do have some Ethereum in the wallet. That's how I knew about 30%. But I didn't buy significantly more. I had put some money in a different project just to sit on it. I haven't done a lot of trading. I bought some stuff from like months ago and just sat on it. I got rid of all the Bone that I had because I was waiting on Bone to kind of, I need the team to figure their stuff out. I was told Shiba Swap was moved to Shibarium and that the burns were increasing. I still don't see that reflected, at least not from my perspective, on the price chart that I saw. So I'm waiting to see that there's at least some significant price movement for Bone, and I don't know exactly what's contributing to the lack of said price movement. I struggle that. I've been watching it and watching it and watching it, and despite my every effort, Bone does not seem to want to impress me, and I don't exactly know why. So I'm still watching it, just so you know. I have not abandoned Bone. It's just right now not doing what I needed to do. The same people are still in Bone, and despite claims of burns, I don't see evidence of burns happening. I don't see run-ups. Even though Ethereum skyrocketed, Bone seemed to crap a little bit, and Bone has not been able to regain the dollar mark at minimum, even though this guy, being the gas token for Shibarium, should have already skyrocketed by this point. I can only speculate two things. One, a lack of larger exchanges listing it, which doesn't make any sense in itself. Two, sentiment. The team just keeps screwing up. I can't say for sure that that's what's happening, but that's my theory on this business. Once I can see that there's some of that's alleviated, I'm going to buy back into Bone. It's just not the right time at this point.
I like the dollar, but I just like crypto.
Donald Trump's presidential campaign has come out with official affirmation that they are supporting cryptocurrency. The campaign themselves are accepting cryptocurrency donations to show solidarity to the cryptocurrency community to say that they support cryptocurrency. I'm going to make a statement, because I have no more to say about this. I'm going to make a statement on this. Because Donald Trump said, if you support cryptocurrency, you better vote for him. I'll tell you this much. Joe Biden has been anti-cryptocurrency. Gary Gensler has been anti-cryptocurrency. Janet Yellen has been anti-cryptocurrency. Everybody has been anti-cryptocurrency so far. However, when the presidential campaign for Donald Trump came out and said, you know what, we accept the cryptocurrency and we're willing to accept it for donations to the campaign, which is a huge shift. This is a major event that I don't think you're wrapping your head around, in my opinion. I don't think you're understanding it. It's a huge shift, but when that happened, all of a sudden we started seeing a little bit of an easing up with the Ethereum ETFs, which are coming from Joe Biden's SEC who has historically been resistant to approve these things because of Joe Biden's stance against cryptocurrency, along with Gary Gensler. The timing, it's all about the timing of them being all of a sudden willing to support these, at least as an interim step towards adopting cryptocurrency at a wider scale, came kind of ironic in the timing, right? Because, well, Donald Trump does this thing and then Joe Biden's playing catch up because, mind you, this is something that should have happened the moment he stepped into office, if we're honest with ourselves. But it didn't stop there. Democrats in the House, so Congress in the House, have turned against the president because now they're petitioning to get all Democrats, including Joe Biden and the administration, on board with cryptocurrency because they see with what Donald Trump just did with his presidential campaign, they're getting left in the dust by largely an administration who simply doesn't care about you. They care about themselves and they care about socialism. Whereas now they've got people in their own party turning against them because they realize Joe Biden's going to get absolutely schooled if he doesn't get on board with the current trend, which does what? It skews towards a younger audience. Donald Trump is giving the younger voters no choice. The younger voters who align with the Greta Thunbergs of the world historically are going to go against Donald Trump because they want a so-called, quote, popular vote instead of the Electoral College, which Donald Trump washed when he went in office beating Hillary Clinton. They want the popular vote, which means California picks the president. But then Donald Trump, being as smart as he is, knows that the young people are going to be tempted by that carrot he's dangling, that being cryptocurrency, because they're the ones most likely to support it. So what we have now is essentially a weird race. We've got Donald Trump calling out Biden for debate, Biden agreeing to some debates but not others, Donald Trump accepting donations in cryptocurrency and basically saying we appreciate it, we adopt it, we accept it, we support it. Then Joe Biden's SEC having to play catch up. Meanwhile, RFK is off to the side talking about he supports cryptocurrency. And now people in Joe Biden's own party are trying to support cryptocurrency in complete contrast to what the president's doing. This is a huge shift that I don't think people understand how important and significant it is that Joe Biden has people in his own party turning against him to try to get them to support cryptocurrency. What that means is that the acceptance of cryptocurrency, they know what that means. It's a sway of the vote. It's a sway of vote in favor because you're giving them no choice. Because if they, in their, when I say they, talking to young people, if in their mind they believe that that is the future of currency, which I think is crap, but if they believe it, you now have influenced their vote. You've influenced them to vote for you as a candidate as opposed to that other guy over there in the office who refuses to support it for years and years and years while making it harder for you to get access to money, devaluing the money that's in your pocket and in your bank account, making it harder for you to get access to more money. And then you got this guy over here where they're going after him with phony lawsuits that we know are fake and politically motivated, who's coming out saying all the stuff that you really want to hear. Meanwhile, the only reason that the guy is not in office right now is because of mean tweets and people who got triggered by the mean tweets and a January 6th that was misrepresented because multiple footages showed that it was not the insurrection that it was claimed to be, except for a select few set of people who trashed the freaking building, but it wasn't all of them. And there were some inside people and all the lawsuits getting tossed and judges having scandals left and right. It's all being unraveled. This claim from the Trump presidential campaign is strategic. The guy's smarter than he gets credit for. He knows what he's doing. He knows he's doing what they did to him. He's getting the young people to ignore, because all of a sudden, folks, all of this crap about climate crises doesn't matter anymore. All this stuff that Joe Biden was talking about for his support doesn't matter anymore. None of that matters anymore because this guy over here is talking about cryptocurrency support, which is what they want to hear because that's what they think is going to be the currency of the future, and they believe he's the only one that can get him there because he's the only one talking about it. I keep stressing to people that Donald Trump knows what the hell he's doing. He's actually very smart. He doesn't get sufficient credit for how smart he really is. We are seeing that play out firsthand by people in the Democratic Party turning on Joe Biden to try to support cryptocurrency because they know what it means. If they lose that battle, it's strongly probable, not guaranteed, strongly probable that they lose that race. Fidelity is the latest in a line to drop staking. as part of the Ethereum ETFs in their quest to try to get the Ethereum ETFs approved. The SEC has frequently talked about staking as concerning when we talk about securities. And so Fidelity is one of the latest. They're one of many that have just said, let's drop the staking plans. This, I think, is good. Some people disagree. I think it's good. I think anything that gets the darn thing approved is good. I think anything that gets it over the finish line is good because there's people chomping at the bit for it. I said on an older episode, I want to say that was sometime in February, I said that I believe Bitcoin may hit a peak and people are looking for Ethereum, which has not hit the all-time high yet. And people are kind of holding on the sidelines for Ethereum because they believe that Ethereum has the greater growth potential. Mind you, Bitcoin with the halving and everything else, it's no longer as advantageous to get it other than purchase and sell. I was actually looking at mining equipment because in my new place, I had planned to set up a mining something and I was going to mine my own cryptocurrency. So I was looking at different mining ASIC machines, ASIC it's referred to, just to kind of get a sense of price. And they're not crazy expensive, but you have to look at the return. I wasn't worried about the electric bill because I was going to power it partially by solar. I was more concerned with the daily return. The most you can get per day is about $70, $80. But to get that return, you're going to be spending, you know, $5, $10 just with the electricity per day, which is a lot. That's a crazy amount. The device is like $12,000 to $15,000. It's not a crazy amount, but I think the thought was you're going to get multiple of these machines and they actually sell these, you know, trailers, metal trailers, and you can line up, you know, 50 or 100 of these things. Okay, well, if you do 100 of these things, $7,000 a day, okay. But yeah, that's a lot of money to upfront invest to get it. And then you got to pay for cooling. You got to pay for security because that matters. You have to pay, and the electric bill, geez. It is something I thought of doing later, is just set up my own mining thing. And geez, the Bitcoin returns are nothing. Now there's always the gambling, roll the dice and see if you win the reward. And it's like three Bitcoin or whatever. But think of how much you'd have to increase your odds. And it's just not financially worth it. So then with the proof of stake model on the Ethereum side, there's less that you have to do in order to participate as a validator for Ethereum. Obviously, it's a little bit, you know, there's a lot of validators. And once you get too many, it's kind of not so good because the rewards are lower per. But I think having the staking out of the way so that this gets over the finish line, at least get some more traction on the buy-sell side, which could get us to the all-time high, in theory. Now, this is based on the theory, truly, that Ethereum is what people are waiting on and no longer Bitcoin. Does that mean Bitcoin's not going to go up? No, it's already gone up. Reclaim $10,000 out of thin air. So Bitcoin has an opportunity to go higher. It just may be that people are seeking Ethereum with its lower price point and opportunity to get in. And Ethereum ETF provides another outlet for investment in addition to the Bitcoin ETFs and other types of assets. Keep in mind that some of these others like bonds are always going to be a thing, right? But some of them no longer have that persistence of value. They lose value because of the devaluing of the US dollar and the turmoil internationally. Many countries, international countries, are looking at what's happening to the U.S. dollar and the devaluing of the U.S. dollar Putin talked about in the interview with Tucker Carlson. And they're saying maybe it doesn't make sense to rely on U.S. dollar and we should strengthen our own currency. You might think that's a good thing. It's not a good thing because if we can't sell our debt, it's actually going to have a negative downstream impact on you as a U.S. citizen. Biden never fixed that problem. He made it worse the moment he stepped in office. Because he killed every, that's why Donald Trump was going for a world where we're self-sufficient, where we are net positive, where we are selling to other countries, because he was trying to increase the value that we have to other countries. Biden came in and killed every single thing that increased our value, which is why the inflation was felt so much worse in addition to the pandemic. The pandemic is still around, but it's nowhere near as disruptive as it was before. But Joe Biden had no appetite to fix what he broke and acknowledge what he focused on was the wrong answer. Focusing on EVs was the wrong answer. Killing Keystone was the wrong answer. The NATO deal is the wrong answer. Shipping money overseas was the wrong answer. all of these things were bad. And it you feel the impact, not him, not Kamala, not Chuck Schumer. You feel it. Your schools feel it. Everything downstream feels it. It's why our kids can barely count change today. All of it has a downstream impact. So what people never understood, and they're starting to now, but they didn't before because it was an okey-doke, they didn't understand why Donald Trump was so fixated on getting America back first, is because he knew that the devaluing that kept going, that he saw because of his position, was going to be harder and harder to get out of that hole. This then affects cryptocurrency, because if you don't have the discretionary money, or said money doesn't go as far, or jobs are not readily available, you're not going to get more into it except from international. And then because we're so damn desperate, we keep dumping off of it, which keeps it from running up. All of these are my observations. I have no evidence or data to back up my observation. I'm sharing my observation with information you can see yourself in terms of the way the Trump administration is acting in contrast to the way the Biden administration has acted historically. Two more updates will wrap up. First, I wanted to talk about, I mentioned in the preface, about a project I invested in jumping like crazy. I'm still watching it. It was a pre-sale, but it was not a pink scam pre-sale. It was a pre-sale on their own site, which it violates my current policy, but this was prior to me making that decision. And I figured, you know, it was throwaway money. It was truly throwaway money. I did not expect, I don't even now expect that it's going to go anywhere. It very well could crap and die. I don't think that they're scammers. I think that if something's going to happen, it would be a breach of some kind. This is theory. Retic Finance, RETIK.com. I had bought into, and so now here's where I'm sharing the open secret. I had bought into the pre-sale for Retic Finance with some throwaway money because I wanted to watch it and I wanted to see what would happen with throwaway money that I don't care. I don't have it now, so it didn't matter. But if there was an opportunity to get something out of it, okay, great. If it's lost, I lose nothing. I don't advocate that you do that. I can because I make a lot of money. I've already spent a good amount of money on this house, as is, and I still have free money to burn because I make a lot in my... The crypto is not my primary source of money. My primary source of money is my business. I own my own business. I work for myself. I'm my own boss, to quote Dame Dash. So I can afford to play around with different projects, you know. And with this Retic Finance, again, months and months and months ago, I had tossed into the pre-sale and I let it sit there. It launched this morning, peaked up to $2.6, so just shy of $2.70, did a crap. And this initial crap, I believe, I don't know for sure, but I believe came from angel type investors, some of the initial funding outlets that were not pre-sale. Because this one, I think what happened is they worked with some people who were designed to help hold the floor during the period, the initial call-out period. It went down to just shy of a dollar and then started going back up. As I record this, it's at $2.30, not far from its all-time high, with a fully diluted market cap of $2 billion, volume of $10 million. They prioritized MEXC as an exchange, and we know how MEXC plays. They prioritized BitMart, they prioritized DigiFinex, BitTrue, and most importantly, Uniswap. Uniswap is where most people go. There's right now a little bit of arbitrage because BitMart is currently priced at $1.75, way beneath the price. Tells me that it's blatantly overpriced. I don't know why. I don't have an answer as to why the Uniswap price was so inflated and people don't just go to BitMart. I suspect people will get a clue here soon because it just dropped to $2. The point I'm describing is this is an exercise. It's an experiment. The investment, the pre-sale investment, has a vesting period. Every 5 days or every week or whatever, it releases 5%, and it says 5% of the total pool, not 5% of what you put in, but 5% of the total pool. So I'm going to watch it. And this is an exercise. This is a test. For me, if this went down to a dollar, it's still significantly higher than what I put in. It's a 10x from what I put in. Easy. So even if it went half of where it is now, it's still 10x from where I bought in at. If it goes to 10 bucks, that's a lot of freaking money. And if it was able to do that, which I'm saying I don't think it can, but if it did, this is what I'm saying in terms of literally paying the fucking house off, like quick done, because that's a lot of freaking money. And so, in fact, if it went to 10, yeah, if it went to 10, it's well over half the price of the home. Like I would have the house paid off in 3 months. So I'm watching this business closely as an exercise, knowing the risk, knowing I could lose it all because it could get breached. Again, I don't think it's a scam. It could be. I don't know. I think the greater risk is it gets breached. So I'm watching it. I'm talking this out because I want you to understand everything that you do in cryptocurrency is a gamble. It's rolling the dice to see what might or might not happen. Whether that's a pre-sale, and in this case, it was not pink scam, so I was okay considering it. Whether it's a direct buy, everything is a gamble. You can't know what's going to happen, which is why it's important. You only toss money you can be okay losing. You cannot feel angry or I see people on community all the time, pissed off, angry, upset, frustrated that they, quote, lost it all. You know, all my money, like this kind of garbage. And I'm doing this as a public service announcement to people. Don't toss all your money in crypto. It must be money you're okay losing because you cannot know if it's going to work out, especially if it gets a lot of hype across social media. You simply can't know. If you buy into something and it's throwaway money and you win it big, do something positive with that money. Do something constructive with that money. Do something that benefits your family with that money. Or you know, a charity or something, but do something productive. I see people all the time, you know, they do stuff like this and then they're talking about buying Lambos and crap. Do something that's actually productive, okay? Improve your home. Improve your home's value. Pay off your house. Pay off your debts. Send your kid to school. I don't know, but do something productive. If you do win it. If you win, get small wins. Let's say you win, you know, $1,000 off something and you put 100 in it. That's a win. Take the win. Don't sit on it, hoping it goes to the moon. In my case, the buy-in price was already half of the launch price. So it meant I was going to be up no matter what. The vesting was designed to hold the floor. So I was okay risking it in this case because it was throwaway money. You should look for any opportunity based on your confidence and your tolerance for risk for opportunities to make wins, whether it's a small win or it's a large win. Regardless of the win size, again, make sure that you are productive with it. It could be a reinvestment of the money. Again, it could be putting your kid through school or putting him in private school or, you know, renovating your home. Do something that's going to be adding value. Because consider, if you were to take, let's throw some high numbers, right? Let's say you toss $500 at something. It 10Xs, you get $5,000 out of it, okay? So you got your money back, $500, and you made $4,500. With that $4,500, picture what you could do with it that's actually productive. You could renovate small things around your home for $4,500 and improve its home value. If you improve your home value to a degree, depending on whether you own it or you rent it, if you rent it, obviously that's no good for you. Let's say that you own it though, condo or something else. You improve its value, it improves how much you can sell it for later. If you're renting, that money might be able to go to a nicer place as opposed to where you are. Might go to a place that's closer to your job. If it's closer to your job and you have to drive to work every day, you're offsetting the expense of the commute. You're lessening the wear on your car. You're lessening the stress. You're making it easier to go get food. So you consider that any win can create savings in other areas. This should be contributed in your calculation. You should be also considering by having even a small win that gets me closer to work or makes it easy to get food or makes it easy to do something else. creates a saving somewhere else, such that your win is actually greater than you thought it was. People don't think that far. They're only looking at the gambling aspect of it. I'm looking at the big picture of it. The money that potentially could be made off this, if it is, the money that could be made off this, I can already tell you straight up, would go directly towards that freaking house that I just bought. Because I don't want to be paying, it's only a 15-year loan, but I don't want to pay for 15 years. I don't want to pay for 10 years. I don't want to pay for 5 years. I want it paid off and then it's mine. And then all I have is a $5,000 a year tax bill. I can deal with that. And utilities that are collectively about, you know, $2,000 a year or whatever. So let's say 10 grand all told every year, but I have a house of my own that nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tells me what I can and can't do with it. And sometime later, here's the beauty of this. Sometimes later, city comes around saying that we want to buy your house from you because we're trying to expand this road or something else. They have to offer you fair rate for it. So if it's paid off and I've increased its value, I'm going to recoup it later. All because I put something in here anticipating some sort of a win. Even if the win isn't the max win, I'm going to max it later. But any small win now goes towards something that's going to increase something later. I think that's where people go south. They don't get it. They're just focused on the gambling of it. I'm telling you, in my opinion, use any win you can get to improve other aspects of your life that create savings in other aspects of your life that can contribute to the win. Anything that saves you money, anything that makes you money, using crypto as a facilitator instead of banking on it to make you a millionaire. It's up to you. If you want to be a gambler, that's cool. Roll the dice, all you care. I will always advocate that cryptocurrency is an enabler. It will never be a primary currency, at least not in the lifespans of those listening to the show. But it can be an enabler to a better life situation. If you think smarter about it, as just an enabler. It's just a bridge to get across these large lakes and rivers that the president's campaign and administration have gotten us through the past 4 years. Use it to get out of the hole. Use it to get out of your situation. Use it to make sure you don't have any debt left. Use it to make sure you don't have to worry about credit card debt. Use it to make sure your kids can go through school without you worrying about it. Use it to make sure you improve your lifestyle. And that's it, without waiting for the millions. Think about this. Let's assume that you're able to do what I suggest. Let's assume that you're able to free up some extra money. Well, what do you think you can do with that extra money now? You could buy some more cryptocurrency, and you repeat the process. If you pull it off, you'll build a flow that works for you. And I think at that point, that white light in your mind will go off where you realize, I get what he's saying. The cryptocurrency is not, in the vast majority of cases, going to make me rich, unless I'm an extreme gambler. However, the cryptocurrency can give me quick wins of 2x and 3x and 5x and 10x. My job as a trader is to take those wins and parlay it into something else that's already putting me in the red somewhere else and get rid of it. Like pay off credit cards, pay off whatever debts. Because now that's less money you're spending to those things. That's more disposable income in your pocket by just simply being smart about cryptocurrency as a strategy. The Ethereum run that we saw very recently, I'm going to remind some people, and I will take a victory lap on this one. There was a point in time, Ethereum went as low as like $1,000. $1,000. If you had listened to Leister at CryptoTalk.fm at the time when he told you it's not going to go past $900 down, and it didn't, and I recommend you get some now because it ain't going to be here that long, and it goes a 4X, and you said, you know what, I know Ethereum's going to go somewhere. I know it's going to go somewhere. I'm going to take my 25 grand from my whatever 401k, and I'm going to toss it in this now. As of the price jumps that we recently saw, right there, your minimum $80,000. Obviously, you had to count taxes. but your minimum $80,000 by that one investment into a cryptocurrency, that was a pretty much sure bet. It was just a matter of time. You take, let's say it's $80,000, right? You get your 25 back on that. 55 grand now can go towards all sorts of stuff. You no longer have any debt because you pay it all off. You prepay your utilities for 2 years so you don't have to have the monthly expenses. You pay off your cars or pay them down at minimum. You put the rest towards, you know, nice things for your home to improve its value. Now, when you look at the monthly statements, how much you're spending, how much you make, you look and you say, you know what? I got more disposable income than I had before. And all I had to do was be smart about that investment in Ethereum, which was a sure bet, instead of trying to roll the dice on garbage like Dog with Hat. You could have rolled the dice on Dog with Hat and you might have won, but think of the timing of that. You'd have to buy it in at the exact right time and take the extreme risk because it's not going to scam you, but chances are by the time you found out about it, it's already at the peak and the most you could get is a 2X. 2X isn't bad if you toss that same 25 grand, but that means that you only made 25 grand. Instead of the 80 grand that you could have made / 55 grand by buying into a sure bet and being smart about it. That's all. Hopefully that gave you something to think about because we are very close. The market cap's $2.61 trillion in total market cap. Money's flowing back in, largely spearheaded by Ethereum. We are very close to more opportunities for money. You've got to decide if you're going to go after the garbage that's out there and take a risk. Nobody said don't, but if you do take the risk and you win, I would recommend not waiting to be a millionaire off just crypto. Put it into something else that offsets your outflow so that you have more disposable income, so that you can improve your situation and your value and your net worth. And then maybe money gets freed up to buy into cryptocurrency and do it again. But you're not fixated on the make $1 million from the cryptocurrency. You're focused on how can I improve my situation, leveraging cryptocurrency as simply a gate to get there until such a time as we sort out who's going to be in that chair in the White House and are they truly going to be supportive of cryptocurrency going forward? And then hopefully we all can eat, as the kids would say, on cryptocurrency in the future. Mind, it's possible, very possible, that cryptocurrency hits a glass ceiling here soon. If it hits a glass ceiling, it doesn't mean it's over. It means we have to go through another cycle. You have to temper your emotions. You have to control yourself and not get angry when it doesn't do what you think it should do. Because it's not supposed to do what you think it should do. It's going to do what it do, as the kids say. Your job is to guess whether this is the right time to go or wait. If you wait, you can't be angry when you miss the train. If you go, you can't be angry if you lose. If you win, you simply have to be smart about what you do about it. And you'll keep winning. It's the ones who are not smart who don't keep winning. You've got to be smart about the wins, or the wins won't come. That's the trap of cryptocurrency. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, I believe, and I'm perhaps naive in this or arrogant per se, I believe you're going to get closer to smarter investing. That's my theory on it. Can't have any proof. I need you to tell me. CryptoTalk.fm, hit the contact form, let me know if what I'm saying makes sense or it doesn't. If it doesn't, ask. We'll do what we can to try to help you.